Buenos días. Good morning. Welcome and bienvenidos a todos y todas. Thank you for being here today. Estamos contentos que ustedes estén aquí durante este tiempo de Adviento. We are so pleased that you're here in this time of Advent. En este tiempo de esperamos. Esperamos a ver qué va a hacer el Señor. This is a season of waiting. Waiting to see what the Lord will do. Gracias por compartir en este viaje con nosotros. Thank you so much for joining us in this journey. Let us begin with singing.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 181, My Soul Proclaims with Wonder.
Our call to worship this morning, comes from Isaiah 40. Consuelen, consuelen a mi pueblo, dice su Dios. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Hablen con cariño a Jerusalén y anuncienle que ya ha cumplido su tiempo de servicio, que ya ha pagado por su iniquidad, que ya ha recibido a la mano del Señor el doble por todos sus pecados. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, she has paid her penalty, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. Una voz proclama, preparen en el desierto un camino para el Señor. Enderecen en la estepa un sendero para nuestro Dios. A voice cries out, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Que se levanten todos los valles y se alenan todos los montes y colinas. Que el terreno escabroso se nivele y se alincen las quebradas. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Entonces se revelará la gloria del Señor, y la verá toda la humanidad. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall say together, "El Señor mismo ha dicho," for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of the Lord.
And in the blue hymnal, number 176, "Comfort, comfort, O my people." And those who are able, please stand. And please turn in the purple Sing the Story hymnal to number 14, "Prepare the Way of the Lord." We'll sing the first two lines twice, and then we can keep singing those two lines. But if you'd like, feel free, after we sing the first two lines a couple of times, feel free to jump down and sing the secondary canon, or you can stay on the first part. Thank you.
God, we confess that we can no longer play dumb. We know only too well the lives we are called to lead. You call us home to live with you, comfort of the lost, but we are too busy right now to listen. We flock to the stores run by temptation and seduction, seeking the best prices. We rush to judge everyone around us, but ask you, please, be more patient with us, with our repeated errors. We feast at the table piled high with broken promises and drink from the cup of fading dreams. Yet you continue to cry out to us. You speak to us of your love. Forgiveness is the gift for every moment, not just for one day. Hope is our constant companion as we journey with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is your messenger of mercy. Take a deep breath with me. Sisters and brothers, please stand either in body or spirit and hear these words of assurance. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Your sins are pardoned, your penalty is paid. But let us not hold that as an excuse for anything. Let this be our bouncing board, our sounding cry as we go into the world. Let us share the peace of Christ with the world and with each other. And let us start here and say, the peace of Christ be with you. Amen.
Today we welcome Wendell Wiebe Powell. Who is here to give us just a few words about the Elkhart, Advocates. I was missing the advocates. Elkhart Advocates for Peace and Justice and Colin Russell.
It's great to be with you today. Experience the warmth of your hospitality on this cold winter day. We're here to share a little bit about the program that's been going for several years in this community, but in the last couple years we've started work that we've envisioned for quite a while in our local schools. Elkhart Public Schools are frequented by every branch of the military. Students sometimes tell me they're there about every other day. Sometimes it might be the Marines, sometimes the Navy, Army, National Guard, and so on, sometimes several of them. I kind of have a personal experience with this. I have three sons that have attended Elkhart Community Schools, and they've experienced this firsthand. One of my sons was in a physical education class once that was taken over by one of the military recruiters. The PE instructor stood in the back, and the recruiter just basically instructed the class. They had a climbing wall and did all kinds of intensive running. And he was pretty young at that point, just starting high school, and he just didn't feel right about it. And so he asked not to participate, and he was shamed in front of the whole class for not participating. So it is personal to me, but it's personal to many, many hundreds of students that are affected by this in our schools. A disproportionately higher rates of military recruitment happen in schools and communities where there's high percentages of low-income young people or from families with low income and people of color. Recruiters are highly trained to sell military service as a means of the good career and paying for higher education. They go through months of training. Students often have little or no awareness of alternatives. If they want to go to college and they come from a low-income family, they're often not aware of alternatives. And also, they're not aware of alternatives to get a good career. And to, because the military says, join the military, this will be your ticket to a good career, or paying for your education, or adventure, or service. And there are many alternatives, as we, as Peace Church, know about. And also, the recruiters don't speak of the horrors and trauma of war and the higher percentage of mental illness and homelessness and suicide, abuse, and other factors among military veterans and their families, and the fact that many of the military veterans do not receive the level of financial compensation that they were initially led to believe that they would receive. So,
So in response to that, the military recruiters are there often, those of us in EAPJ realized that there wasn't really a voice for peace in the schools. Seems like if you want people to learn about something, you should be out sharing it and talking about it. So we decided to set up a peace education table. We're calling the project Nurturing Peace in Our Community Schools. It's less to criticize people who decide to join the military, and it's more to say, hey, there's a whole world of opportunities out there, and we want you to be aware of that before you decide what you do in the future. And I don't know that we would say we're selling it, but we're certainly advocating for it, championing it, and hoping that through that we can help people who may not know about other options find out what they are out there, other alternatives and ways to go after high school.
Most students are not aware of the information that we provide, and as Colin said, we have what we call peace education tables that we set up at Concord, Memorial, and Central High Schools. Some of the materials that we include are information about peace study programs in local colleges, like Goshen College, Ball State, there's a lot of good peace programs. Notre Dame and so on have peace programs, so we have information on that. We have information about the realities of war and military service that the military recruiters don't talk to the students about. Opportunities to participate in peace-oriented clubs in their schools, and non-military career opportunities, alternatives for military funding for higher education, and peace-oriented volunteer opportunities. Some young people, they really have a yearning to serve. Well, there's lots of ways to serve, and we direct them to those. Opportunities for students to have follow-up conversation on these issues. So we would welcome you to join us. We've got our table set up just like we do at the high schools in the fellowship hall, and so you can kind of see how we do the peace education table, and there'll be time to join us. I guess we have a Sunday school hour.
Yeah, you're here for second hour. Ellie, is that going to be meeting up in the fellowship hall today? So the information table is set up there, and there will be an opportunity to hear more second hour and ask questions and interact and look at that material. But we're very grateful for your ministry in our community.
Thank you. And we really look forward to hearing from you as well.
And now it's time for the children to come forward for our time.
Hello.
Whoa, it worked.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you on this lovely, cold, snowy Sunday. We're going to begin our children's time by passing the basket, like we always do. And the monies that we put in this basket will go to a school in the country of Benin. And I believe the name of this school is Casa Grande. If you don't have any money to put in the basket, just touch the basket and bless it as it goes past you. There's a lot of blessing going on, I believe. Okay, Carolyn has some there. Okay, thank you. Okay, I see on the table here beside us that there are two candles lit. Does anybody remember what season of the church year we're in? Because why we are lighting candles? It has a special name. It starts with an A. Advent. Yes, we're talking about or thinking about the coming of Jesus. Christmas is the time that we celebrate his birthday, and the Sundays in December are when we especially remember about his coming. Last Sunday, we had a friend called Mildred who showed us a special nativity, and her nativity, or the manger scene pieces that she had, were from the country of the Philippines, I believe, if I remember right. Today, Laura, and I'm Becky, we will show you some special nativities from some other countries. And Laura, we'll let you talk first.
How many of you know? Okay. Oh, yes. How many of you know what an island is? What's an island?
A plot of land that is surrounded by water.
That's true, yes. And I lived on an island for a long, many years, the island of Puerto Rico. And near that island, there is another island called the Virgin, there are some other islands, smaller ones that are called the Virgin Islands, okay? And my nativity sets are from the Virgin Islands and from Puerto Rico. And I don't know why, but my nativity sets aren't very big. They are kind of miniature. So they might be a little hard to see, but I put them on this tray, and I want to talk about this one first. As you can see, the manger is, looks like a coconut shell, right? Yeah. This is, and then Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus are made out of shells, because since people live near the beach, you know, they can go looking for shells to make a nativity set. And what I like about it is that the people there on these islands, they use the things they've got around them to make their nativity sets. And so here we have Mary and Joseph. They're made out of shells, and baby Jesus is in a shell there. And the sheep also are made of shells and pipe. They did use some pipe cleaners also. But what I liked about it was it seemed so typical of the things that they had around them that they made. And then this little tiny one here, I couldn't believe it when I saw it, but I went shopping one time in Puerto Rico, and part of Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, they are islands where a lot of people like to go because they are such beautiful places, and there's beach and there's palm trees and there's nice weather and all that, and people like to go there. So a lot of people earn their living by selling things to these people who come to see the island, right? So I think that's what happened here when they made this little manger scene, nativity scene. Now, this baby Jesus is so small because he is a grain of rice. And Mary and Joseph are two beans. And the rice and beans is what a lot of people in Puerto Rico eat every day. And it reminded me of the fact that Jesus said that he came to be the bread of life. And that means that knowing him and knowing about him and is as important as eating, right? It's as important as eating. And so I thought it was interesting that they made their nativity scene out of of rice and beans. And then this, I think, this little star they put up there is some kind of a spice that you find in Puerto Rico that they made. I think it's anise. I think that's what it is, anise seed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so those are mine, and I have had them for many, many years because I bought this one on my honeymoon. Yeah, and that would be 55 years ago. So, and this one I don't remember. It was later on, but I've had it for quite a while. So those are mine that I wanted to show you. So if you want to see them a little closer, I'll just, but they're pretty fragile. I don't want you touching, but you can look. Okay? Do you see how tiny baby Jesus is, that rain of rice? I don't understand how they got them painted that they're so small, but they did. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to let Becky tell about hers.
Okay, I just brought a couple pieces from my nativity set, and you see that they're laying here in this basket. Mine were bought on the island of Puerto Rico, too, because for 2 years I lived in Puerto Rico, and to help me remember about that time in Puerto Rico, my husband and I bought a nativity set that was made there. Now, I have one, two, three, four, five, six, about seven pieces here in this tray, and I need some people to volunteer to hold one piece. You can choose one, hold it, and look at it and try to think about it, see how it's made. Why don't you choose one? Okay, here we have one. You can choose one. And you can have another one. Okay, somebody else want to help? Okay, and you can take one. And one left. Oh, two left. Well, okay, well, that. Okay, thank you. Now, if you, what material do you think that your piece is made out of? If you feel it, wood. Okay, does it all of your pieces feel like wood of some kind? Okay. How do you think they were made if you'd look at them? Pardon? Carving. Do you know what carving means? You make your own things, and what kind of a tool would you use to make it? A knife. So somebody made these pieces. They thought it was so special to make, to remember Jesus and the story about him, that was so special to them that they carved them. And there are people in Puerto Rico called santeros. They are people who make nativities, and they also make other characters from the Bible that we call saints. And okay, who would like to tell me who they think their figure is? Okay, who do you have? Baby Jesus, the important one. You can just put, oops, we got the wrong basket.
There's the wrong
one. Whoa, baby Jesus about went in the offering basket. Okay, what do you have? A sheep, okay. Who else would like to identify theirs? Silas? Another sheep? Okay, we have a couple of sheep. And who do you have, Simon? Okay. Well, I think it's Mary. It's a little hard to identify, isn't it? Okay, and we have another sheep. Okay, Mary needs to go in the basket. And who do you think you have? Joseph. Okay, I think that's true. He has a crook like or what. And what do you have? Well, it looks like a horse, but it's a donkey, because Mary rode on a donkey when she came to Bethlehem from their home in Nazareth. Okay, anybody else have one? Did we collect them all? Oh, I have one. that I took out because it was sort of has a fragile. Well, this looks like Jesus almost, doesn't it, when he grew up? But this is one of the shepherds that the depiction that the carver made. So, and my set has three sheep and I think five shepherds. So those sheep are well taken care of, just like God takes care of us. Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you for your attention and participation. And Laura will be praying for us before we go back to our seats.
Okay, let's pray. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you came to be with us. And we're thankful for people who try to remember that by making nativity scenes. And we're thankful for the islands and the people who live there. And we ask that you will bless them during this Christmas season and each one of us, that we may know Jesus better. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, our excuse me, message is coming from our own pastor, Carolyn Gardner Hunt. So we wait to see what she has to say for us. Oh no, you're fine. Would you pray with me, please? Awaiting God, we are grateful for Pastor Carolyn and the words that you have placed on her heart. We pray that you would help us to realize your Spirit's presence here today through these words, and that you would give us the ears to listen and the heart to understand. Amen.
We're playing musical microphones today, aren't we? I have a problem. When I am preparing to preach on a scripture text, I like to spend time with it for several weeks, to read it and reread it, to pray the story told in the text, and to talk about it with people, especially people that come to our Elkhart Bible study and the Goshen Bible study. I try to marinate myself in that Bible text so that the Word of God will suffuse my thoughts and my heart will be softened. So this week I even got out Handel's Messiah and I listened to that opening aria. Comfort ye. But the scripture from the prophet Isaiah does not describe what I see around me this Advent. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, and she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's nice and everything, but you know what's on my mind? That our school children will have no crossing guards next semester. After December 22nd, the funding runs out in Elkhart. That the community center serving primarily low-income children and their families had its budget snipped in half by the Elkhart City Council. And that a for-profit prison corporation wants to build an immigration detention facility a few miles south of here. The past few weeks have been filled with hurriedly called meetings, letters to city council members, sharing social media posts about rapid response training and community organizing. So when I tried to preach about comfort, This is more time to climb up on the highest hill I can find in Elkhart and shout, stop! Something is wrong when elected leaders in our community decide the safety of thousands of children and parents is worth less than 1/3 of 1% of the city budget. The city budget for Elkhart is almost $72 million a year, by the way. Something's out of whack when we know the hours between 3 and 6 p.m. on school days are when youth are most likely to be victims of a crime, get in a car accident, smoke or drink, engage in other risky behaviors. But the Tolson Center director position is eliminated, limiting the center's ability to serve young people. And finally, there's something grievously unjust about a business that makes millions of dollars a year by locking people up, especially when the company that wants to do business in Elkhart County has an abysmal human rights record. CoreCivic, the company that filed papers with Elkhart County December 4th, it used to be known as Corrections Corporation of America, and it was named as a defendant in more than 1,000 federal civil cases between 2010 and 2015. And the most common subjects of these lawsuits are civil rights, prison conditions, injuries, and medical care. About 80% of those are filed by inmates, but about 20% are filed by employees who feel they have also been mistreated. And another thing that really bothers me about this proposed ICE detention center is where it would be located. County Road 26 and County Road 7, near the county landfill and the county jail. And this area, we've kind of agreed on as a community that that's where our yucky stuff goes. That's where we put things that we don't want. It's where we punish people, it's where our trash goes, it's where you can drop off your hazardous waste. It's where the landfill caught fire last summer. And not many people live out that way. We're used to just driving past real quick and maybe holding our noses. We're used to ignoring what's going on there. And I'm afraid that the prospect of a $100 million building project will be too tempting to the Planning Commission and the Elkhart County Commissioners that get to make this decision, and that plenty of good people will do nothing. There are so many troubling things going on, and these are just the local ones, that some days I've even turned off the radio. Okay, and you know that's a big thing in our house if I turn off the radio. So maybe I'll read the Bible. My bookmark is in Isaiah chapter 40. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places smooth. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I was wondering, how did the people of Israel get to the place where they needed this prophecy in Isaiah? What was happening? Old Testament scholar Kristen Wendland remarks that up until chapter 40 in Isaiah, the news that's spoken in God's name is pretty difficult. The people have rebelled against God, and they've lived at the expense of their neighbors, putting their own desires above the needs of others. So here's what the first big section of Isaiah usually sounds like. Terror and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish together with the earth. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed laws violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. That's pretty heavy stuff. So the first section of Isaiah foretold a time when Jerusalem would be destroyed because the people of Israel were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were worshiping other gods. They were wise in their own eyes, and they called evil good and good evil. That sounds like fake news or alternative facts. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass." Eventually, as the prophet foretold, the people of Israel were out of luck. Jerusalem was destroyed. The entire kingdom of Judah fell to the armies of Babylon, and Jews were deported in several different waves to Babylon, and many of them were detained there. And after generations of exile, during which some of the people of Israel returned to observing the Sabbath and observing Mosaic law, that's when many scholars think this message of comfort was written. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up and do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. I'm not sure where this leaves us in Elkhart County this Advent season. Like, is this the bad stuff that happens before a time of exile? The oppression and marginalization of the poor for personal gain, business practices that literally treat people like garbage? Or is this the wilderness, the foreign land in which we return to faithfulness and are freed from exile? We are not powerless to act against these evils that seem poised to take effect. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. The people of Israel in exile returned to the Lord and followed his commandments, and we can do the same this Advent. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Our time of waiting and preparation doesn't have to be passive and silent and still. It can be love in action. So sound the alarm. One of our older members, every time I preach, she says in the handshaking line, "Thank you for the challenge," but today she's really going to say it, because I do want to exhort you to take some action this Advent to write your elected representatives about one of these issues or some other injustice you know of that needs to be brought into the light. Pick up the phone and call your county commissioner or city council representative. Write a letter to the editor or attend a council meeting. Just show up. Make loving your neighbor so real that your neighbor feels God's embrace. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. In this wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please turn in the green, sing the Journey hymnal to number 100. We'll sing the refrain in verse 1, refrain in verse 2, and refrain.